Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three of a Football Plus Some More Friday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Our third and final hour of this show, our final hour of the week here on TEL all across the Spiz Grizz. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. DRS for the rest of this third hour. Following this opening segment in the next 6 or 7 minutes, it's a Football Friday, a preview of pretty much every game on the slate for Sunday with Mike Blewett. We'll give you our pick six, our favorite bets for the weekend to come as well. But here, DRS, to start off hour number three, a preview of October. Once again, in MLB, the action back on the diamond tomorrow. A quadruple header of games for all four series in the divisional round getting underway. Donnie, it's going to be a good weekend of sports here in the opening weekend of October.
Yeah, certainly waiting for it here. And again, Major League Baseball only gets better as the playoffs move on, particularly here when we like to say the big boys come out to play, the division winners now in action here, and a lot of intrigue going all the way across. But again, Saturday college football as well, Sunday pro football, mix in a little baseball here, and away we go. It is going to be a really good weekend.
A really, really good weekend. And let us not forget the WNBA final starting on Sunday afternoon out in Las Vegas. The super team era comes to a super team conclusion, the Liberty and the Aces. DRS, we asked the public for their intrigue in the division series all around MLB, all four of them, as we'll break down here in just a matter of moments. But first, of course, we must welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience. Hour number three, our third and final, live right here on this Friday on the Early Line, Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. He's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. So again, DRS, the four division series that we have in Baltimore, the first one up tomorrow, it's the Orioles and the Rangers. Then we go to Houston, the defending champion, the Astros, hosting the Minnesota Twins. Then we get to the National League, a rivalry renewed, a rematch of last year. It's the Braves and the Phillies in Atlanta, the nightcap on a Saturday, the fourth and final division series. We have a divisional showdown as well in the National League, the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. So, DRS, of those four series, which has the most intrigue? We asked the public, and without a shadow of a doubt, the public backing the Braves and the Phillies. 66% DRS of this vote. Do you think it is actually the most intriguing series, or did Donnie Wrightside slap a little retweet on that bad boy and got the Philly crowd involved?
Yeah, they'll be involved now throughout the day here, so we'll have some fun with that. But also, I don't know, like, intriguing might not be the right word. Also, the most exciting series that we're probably waiting at, and two teams that it certainly are direct rivals playing each other. So they're going to get some of that attention here. But also, I do think if the public wasn't right but close to being right, that for a series, Texas and Baltimore here, I think is really intriguing. Yeah. Why? Because Texas is a great baseball team with a lot of hammers at the plate. But number two, isn't part of the intrigue like, are the Orioles actually for real? Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to beat Texas. Then they're going to show up in the next round and, let's just say, take on Houston. Ha-ha! Bottom falls out now, even though they're going to have home field advantage in that. There's no way they can win that. So they win that, and then they take on, let's just say, the Phillies, the Braves, or the Dodgers. There's no way they can win that. So the intriguing option coming from Baltimore is, it's seeming like most people are just waiting for the Cinderella shoe to break at this point. But why would it break here? 162 games, they were a fantastic team. I'm not going to disappear from base once I say, man, our luck ran out at this point. It wasn't luck. They're good.
A winning season last year for Baltimore as well. They won 101 games this year in 2023. They hadn't won 100 games in a season in nearly four decades. They had lost 100 a few times in that 40-year span. And that's maybe why a lot of people look at Baltimore with the lack of postseason experience and this young roster and core and think, all right, hey, now it's October. The heightened atmosphere, every game has significance. It doesn't matter what you did for 162. Some of those games in May and June and July mean nothing, not like here in October. I happen to disagree. I know Donnie Wrightside does as well. The Orioles, though, DRS, if you're looking from the intrigue, from the odds perspective, are going to play in the most competitive series as the odds makers see it. Baltimore and Texas yesterday, it was minus 110 on both sides. A little bit of movement in favor of the favorites at home and the best team in the American League, the Baltimore Orioles, minus 115, but the Rangers still minus 105. Every other series, DRS, is at least a $1.50 favorite to win it outright or greater. So at least from the odds, this should have the intrigue.
Yes, absolutely. It should have the intrigue here. And also, you're not taking a look at household pitching names here on either side. I mean, if you're talking about Nathan Eovaldi as the Mount Rushmore of great pitchers, that's certainly not the case. And even, you know, guys like Grayson Rodriguez, Kyle Bradish going to take the mound here for the Baltimore Orioles. Not names. And granted, this is how you get your name. You win postseason baseball games and look good doing it. That's how you become a household name. So maybe that should be the framework of the Baltimore Orioles getting into it. Because sometimes, even though we know how good Gunnar Henderson is, maybe the public doesn't know. Santander out there. There's a lot of really good baseball players that were finally going to get their national shine on the biggest stage here, and let's see how they perform. So when we talk about intrigue, that's the intrigue of the Baltimore Orioles, finding out exactly who these guys are in the biggest moments.
The burden of proof in the postseason for sure, but an opportunity to rise to the occasion as well. Baltimore, the second best price to win the American League pennant, plus 250, only behind Houston. The Astros remain the favorites at plus 175. Baltimore, the only home team tomorrow, DRS, in the quadruple header of games that we have in playoff baseball, that is less than a $1.50 home money line favorite. It's minus 142 for Baltimore in the opener in Camden, the opener of the four games tomorrow against the Texas Rangers. Let's go to that rivalry, though, DRS, the one the public is backing with the most intrigue and hard to really doubt them from that storyline perspective. Philadelphia upsetting Atlanta last year on their way to a National League pennant, doing so in a best of five series in only four games. The Braves, a minus 184 now outright favorite to knock off Philly, greater than a $2 favorite in the opener tomorrow night in the ATL. DRS, when you look at this game outside of the storylines, what do you think the actual action looks like on the diamond between Philadelphia and Atlanta?
Yeah, we're probably expecting runs. Why? Because if we're lining up out of the four series here, the best one through nines that you could combine would be the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. There's power all over the place. There's superstar talent. There's guys that's performed on the biggest stage out there. That's what I think the excitement is coming from here and what we should be watching from the Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. And also reiterating my point, game number one, all the pressure's on the Atlanta Braves with their ace on the mound. Yeah. If they slip up in this one, that turns into an all-hands-on-deck situation where then you run into a day off, which means a rested Wheeler and a rested Nola, and good luck trying to handle that situation already down 0-1 in the series. So the intrigue for me in that is watching who performs. Ronald Acuna's a superstar. Matt Olson's a superstar. No Bryce doubt. Harper's a superstar. No Kyle Schwarber can go yard here. Can't wait to watch it play out.
It's going to be a great series. The only game that has a total at 8.5 of the four tomorrow. The Dodgers, the greatest outright favorite or biggest outright favorite at minus 230 to win this divisional series against a divisional foe in Arizona. But they got the least amount of votes in our Fade the Public poll in terms of intrigue. All right, now we focus on the Sunday slate in the NFL. Football Friday resumes next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back live right here on a Football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. Let's continue to preview the Sunday slate all around the NFL for week number five. I'm Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside, of course, is here, as is Mike Blewett, joining us live right here on this Friday on TEL Blue. Week 5 already underway. The Bears winless no longer. Chicago getting the upset on the road outright as a 6-point underdog. Blewett, does that set the stage for a wild Sunday in week number 5 ahead?
How could it not? We get a primetime over last night. That moves to 10-4. The unders are 10-4 on the season, so we get an over right there. Obviously, Justin Fields and DJ Moore hooking up explosive plays. The Commanders, I think, coming off of that close Philly loss, just looked really uninspired, especially in the first half of that game. But credit to the Bears. First win in nearly a year, and glad to see them at least get out from under the oppressive Chicago and NFL media for a week.
347 days, the losing streak continued in Chicago. No more, no longer. The Bears a win once again. All right, Blue, let's look at the Sunday slate here for week number 5. A really intriguing line stands out to me. The Chiefs on the road in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis against the Vikings. Earlier this week, the line was 5.5, always a weird number to say for an NFL football game. Then it started to drop, 4.5, 4. Now, Blue, as we get ready for the weekend, it's only 3.5 in favor of the Chiefs. When I started to see this line drop in the drastic way it did, I went right to Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, checking all the injury reports. What happened to Travis Kelce? Is Patrick Mahomes injured? What happened to Chris Jones? Is he holding out once again? Nothing of the sort. So, Blewett, why do you think this line is moving in as drastic of a fashion as it currently is?
Because the Chiefs are not a great covering team. They're 1-6 on the road after a straight-up win. They didn't cover against the Jets. There are many things that we see from the Chiefs, and honestly, sometimes it's through no fault of their own. Sometimes these lines are terribly inflated for people assuming that the Chiefs can put up 40 points every week. That's not a realistic notion for any NFL team, and I think that's a big part of it. But I would say that some of the numbers on the Vikings side aren't great either. They're 4-11 at home after a straight-up win. They're one. So here's the real key for this game. I'll digress for a moment. The total is a very high total, right? 52.5. I think we're in that range right now. But you really have to determine where you think this game is going to end up from a scoring standpoint, because obviously, if you think it's going to be a high-scoring game, Minnesota shouldn't really be fighting that fight. They're 1-8-1 with a total of 45 or more on spreads. There are a number of different factors that really tie into what you think the total can be. I happen to think that this is a lower-scoring game than is anticipated by some, but my favorite way to attack this, because Kansas City remains a very good first half team, as I'm just going to lay the 2.5. I already laid the 2.5 with Kansas City in the first half. I understand it might be up to 3 in certain places. I think that's the way to go. I do think there's a world in which Minnesota can stay in this game and make it a little bit more difficult for the Chiefs in the second half, perhaps a Harrison Butker walk-off kick or something like that to win it. So I'm going to back the Chiefs, but I'm taking the first half line. I think that's where the Chiefs' strength is. What's challenging for Minnesota is, can Cousins have a vintage game against a Chiefs defense that we know historically improves as the year goes on? That's the way Steve Spagnuolo's defenses play. They start off a little rough, then they start to create pressure with Chris Jones, and they create turnovers, and that's not a good situation for Kirk Cousins.
Mike, back to the UK this week once again, and no surprise, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. And also, if we're talking about a travel plan that should be in your favor, it would be Jacksonville, because they're there and waiting up against the Buffalo Bills. This line currently sitting at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -5.5 price here. We saw how good the Buffalo Bills were last week, almost erasing that notion of, man, what happened on opening night against the Jets here. The Bills are a really good football team. Lining this up against the Jaguars, any advantages for the Jaguars playing there so much or already being there, or is it just from Buffalo Bills from your perspective in this game?
I think that can be helpful for the Jags. I wish they'd be playing a better brand of football than the Bills, obviously smashing the Dolphins last week. They're putting themselves up there with the Niners as maybe the best team in the entire league. An interesting thing, though, for the Bills historically, after they play the Miami Dolphins, which is obviously a heated AFC East divisional rival, they are 13-32 against the number. So sometimes these emotional outpourings from the Bills may lead to lackluster performances in the next week. I just keep coming back to the notion that the Bills, I think if these teams played in a couple of weeks and if it was not in London, I think we'd be really seeing this as a very different game. The Bills are just playing so much better football, such a better brand of football than the Jaguars. I have a hard time thinking that the location is going to impact it all that much.
Yeah. I think it's a kind of weird location for Jacksonville. Yes, they have stayed over there for a week. Yes, this will be the 11th London game. The Jags have now played in a 5-5 straight-up record in their previous 10, including the win last week in dominant fashion over the Atlanta Falcons. But it wasn't like they were in their home beds. It wasn't like they were in their team facility where everything is normal throughout any given NFL week. I guess the body clocks are a little better adjusted than that of Josh Allen and Buffalo, but it's an interesting spot, I think, here. And speaking of the impressive nature, Blue, the Bills have now moved up in the AFC Championship odds, only a dollar behind Kansas City. The Chiefs, the favorites, plus 280. Buffalo, the second best price, plus 380. The Ravens now in the third spot at plus 550. And there you see the Dolphins with the fourth best number at plus 650. The largest spread on the board, Blue, for Sunday, Miami at home in South Florida, an 11.5-point favorite now against the New York Giants. Of course, the G-men have looked dismal the last few weeks without Saquon Barkley and a really roughed up offensive line. Blue, can the Giants do anything to keep this game a little bit closer than that double-digit spread might say?
Well, they are the worst team in the league with total DVOA, so that means there's no area of this team that is anything to write home about. Obviously, we know of the problems. They've unfortunately been on display for the Giants in prime time multiple times. Miami scores two touchdowns a game in the first half and obviously have the ability to put up as many points as anybody in the league. Again, I think the three of us all understand that laying these kinds of numbers in the NFL is really difficult. This game specifically is a call out to feel free to look ahead at lines next week. I know we'll focus on week five here, but these look ahead lines can be really advantageous, and you would have gotten a much, much better number if you saw just 2 weeks down the line when the Giants, this line was in the 4.5 range, and now it's a touchdown more than it is because of the performances that we saw out of the Giants. Again, I'm going to look to the first half number here. I like Miami to get off to a good start. The Giants have been the worst first half team in the league, not just in the league this year. The Giants have, so far this year, been one of the worst first half teams in the history of football. Just a miserable performances in the first half. I don't think they're going to hang with Miami in the first half. And I'll lay that first half number again. I know there's a little bit of a trend for me, but laying 7.5 for the Dolphins in the first half feels better to me than laying 11.5, although ultimately I don't know that it's going to matter.
DRS, what's that big old smile on your face, my friend? We're trying to communicate behind the scenes right here as we come up the final minute of this segment before the break. So we'll get Mike Blewett's thoughts on the rest of the Sunday slate on the other side of the break. And we'll start, Blue, with what is a very intriguing number as well. Between two teams that currently hold the same record, the Bengals are 1-3. Nobody thought that was going to be the case. The Cardinals are 1-3. I think people thought they'd be 0-4 at this point. But the big difference, since the 0-3-1 against the spread, Arizona 3-1 against the number. The Bengals only a 3-point favorite in a must-win game on the road in the desert. Do they get it done? Hear from Mike Blewett up next as we continue to look around all the Sunday slate in the National Football League week number 5. Come back and join us on this Football Friday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are just 2 days away from football once again around the National Football League, the Sunday slate in week number 5. So, Blue, we teased it entering the break. A huge game for the Bengals on the road this week in Glendale out in the desert against the Cardinals. And it might be an interesting line to see since the only a 3-point favorite against the Cards between two teams that both have the same record at 1-3. What do you think, Mike Blewett, we see from Cincinnati on Sunday in Arizona?
occupational hazard for covering in-game live in the late window. You watch a lot of Cardinals football, and I have been getting a lot of Cardinals content in. And I will say, it felt like there was a lot of jokes being thrown at the Cardinals with the Josh Dobbs acquisition and Jonathan Gannon being as fired up as he is. But I have to say, it's translating into them playing really hard. I know that they didn't cover the other day against the Niners, but they also dropped two touchdown passes on the last two plays of the game. That would have been a cover against the Niners. And a spread aside, that's a 21-16 game going into the fourth quarter. The Cardinals were right there with the Niners, despite getting punched in the mouth in the first half in that game. So you have to wonder, can this emotion continue to translate? And they're playing against a team that, you know, they're in the top three or bottom three, depending on how you phrase it, of teams that have been really lackluster this year. And I struggle to see where the Bengals are going to go on the road and find what they need. But I think this is going to be a tough one. I think it's an ideal game to bet live. So I would really see early on, if you're a Bengals backer, I could see the Cardinals getting a touchdown early. You may almost be laying nothing. You get it down to a money line play. I'm leaning towards the Bengals just because they're the more talented team. But it's fair to say that the Cardinals have played better football so far this season.
Mike, overall, Sunday Night Football is supposed to be the best game of the week. That's the showcase for the NFL, and we do have one on Sunday night. The Cowboys and the 49ers. Line sitting as it opened, -3.5 as a favorite towards the 49ers. Line also sitting as it opened, 45 points as a total in this game. This game I'm really looking forward to watch, but overall from yourself, Mike, who is going to win this football game, and who is going to cover?
I mean, I do like the Niners in this one. They've just been the best team so far this season. I think there's a clear amount of respect for the Cowboys, though, right? We're in week five. We still haven't seen the Cowboys fastball on offense. And I'm actually now, previously I was saying, they haven't really had to show it. Now I'm concerned. We're four games in, and we haven't seen them throw a fastball. The only time that they really needed to score on offense, they failed. Bad pick by Dak against Arizona, and they didn't really do anything to cement themselves within that game. They were dominated, really, by the Cardinals. Now, this is going to have to be a game where they're going to have to put pressure on Brock Purdy. They're obviously going to get a lot of different looks. I think it would be helpful for the Niners if they get some guys back in order to spell Christian McCaffrey. I think the days of him carrying the ball 27 times each week spells disaster for them long term. So if we can get some Eli Mitchell or some carries from Juszczyk or other guys to spell him, I think that would be helpful. This is really going to be about pressure. Can the Niners overwhelm the Cowboys offensive line and make Dak uncomfortable? And conversely, can Micah Parsons and Dallas make Brock Purdy uncomfortable? I think the Niners have more tricks in their bag in order to keep Purdy protected. We saw how efficient he was the other day. But again, these first half lines this week are really calling to me. The Niners are an excellent first half team. And again, I suspect that they get off to a good start. But I do think we're going to get a really good game here, Donnie, to your point. We've had some tough ones on Sunday night, but had a good one the other night with the Jets and Chiefs. I think we'll get another good one here. I expect Dallas to be in this one. I'll just lean towards the Niners.
Two of the top five scoring and total defenses in the National Football League. The Cowboys, despite being 3-1, and of course the Niners unbeaten, a perfect 4-0, actually have a better scoring margin at 20.8 points per game than the Niners do at 16.8 points per game. But both have been dominant and impressive throughout the NFL season in 2023. So there's a tier of three blue atop the NFC right now. The Cowboys behind the two remaining unbeaten, San Francisco, and of course, Philadelphia. The Eagles on the road this week in Los Angeles to take on the Rams. The Birds, a 4.5-point favorite against LA. Blue, what do you like in this matchup at SoFi on Sunday afternoon?
Really interesting one. I think we would all concede that the Eagles, despite being 4-0, we haven't seen their best effort yet, or really their best performance yet. And the Rams are a team that's been hanging in there. A really interesting game they played the other day, blowing a 23-point lead, but still hanging on to get a win on the road in overtime. But I actually think this is maybe where the Eagles have their first trip up here. I don't think they can keep playing games like that and get away with it like they did the other day against Washington, like they have so far this season. Now, I think this is a possibility that the spread comes into play here where the Eagles could get a short win. I'm going to take the 4.5 here with the Rams. The real key for them is getting the ball out quickly and making sure Stafford is harassed. The Rams' offensive line is not a strength of their team, but so they're going to have to do some creative things in order to keep Stafford clean for majority of this game. I understand that there's an outcome. It's in with the range of outcomes that the Eagles just overwhelm the Rams' offensive line, but I don't like the way that they've been playing overall, and I'll take the points here. I know sometimes it's a hold-your-nose game, and I think this is one of them.
Cooper Kupp looking to get back into the fold this weekend. Right. We'll see how productive he'll be. And also, Nacua has been fantastic in that slot position. I do think the Rams, for me, might play much better football than I thought they were coming into the season, what I thought they would be in the 2023 season. Let's flip it over to the AFC North here. You got the Ravens and the Steelers. -4.5 here as a favorite for the Ravens on the road. Also, when we take a look at this whole division, if the Ravens can win this game, they are in pole position to take it the rest of the way out, winning a lot of divisional games and on the road here. Talk to me about the Ravens in this game, and also, what are we expecting out of the Steelers offense? Much maligned with Canada, and also, now you're looking at Kenny Pickett saying he's going to give it a go with a bone bruise in his knee.
Honestly, I think clearly only the Steelers know how healthy he is, but I think it's silly to have him out there if he's compromised in any way with a bye week coming up. The offense is broken. Unfortunately, we say that about a number of teams, and the Steelers are one of them. The performance the other day against the Texans, just brutal. They lost an offensive lineman, too, which the offensive line was the weakness of their team, and now they're losing starters to boot. The Steelers have been really good against the Ravens at home, historically. So the 4.5, when the Steelers are an underdog at home in the manner that they are, this week, I think they're almost an auto play, but the way things have looked, interestingly, guys, if Trubisky is in there and he gets the start, we have to wait and see what happens with Pickett. I feel like he gives them a better chance to keep it close, because a compromised Kenny Pickett is going to have a hard time operating against the Ravens as they're getting a little bit healthier defensively and overall. It's a terribly low total of 38 for these two teams. I just think the Ravens are a little bit too much for the Steelers at the moment, even though, you know, we've seen some up and down performance from them as well. It goes against what you think historically about the Steelers being a home dog, but I just don't see it the way they're playing right now.
These rivalry matchups, though, in the AFC North between Baltimore and Pittsburgh have always been close, seemingly. The last four times they have met, in the two games in each of the past two regular seasons, decided by 3 points or less. In the last six meetings between these two, decided by 5 points or less. So thinking Baltimore, despite the injury concerns and the stagnant offense for Pittsburgh, goes on the road and wins by multiple touchdowns, probably not going to happen, at least based on the historic trends. A huge game, though, as Donnie mentioned, for the AFC North. The Flock already a perfect 2-0. Both of their divisional victories on the road. This could be three. That's half of their divisional games, and it's why Baltimore is booked as a -150 odds-on favorite now to win the AFC North. Blewett, elsewhere around the NFL, a game that really stands out, and one you talk about all the time, a very difficult team to bet on or against, the Tennessee Titans. Now a 2.5-point road favorite in Indianapolis on Sunday against the Colts. All four teams in the AFC South blew 2-2 through the opening month of this NFL season. How do you break down the game between the Titans now as a 2.5-point favorite against Indianapolis on Sunday?
Probably the hardest one on the board to handicap, to be honest. I you can see this one going either way. We're seeing some real positive play out of Anthony Richardson. I know the stat lines don't always look great, but as you're watching the games, you're seeing him make some plays and develop. We've got two rookie QBs in the AFC South now showing us that maybe those picks are going to work out. A little too early to tell, obviously. I just feel like this is an ideal opportunity for Vrabel, head coach of the Titans, to take advantage of going up against a rookie quarterback, utilizing some of the pieces on the defensive line to create pressure on Richardson and make him uncomfortable. You obviously have to contain him because he's a massive running threat. But I'll back the Titans here. Again, a really difficult one to handicap, and this is a divisional road favorite, but I like the Titans by a field goal in this one.
In all four of Tennessee's games so far this year, they have closed as an underdog. 3, 2.5, 2.5, 3. The spreads for Tennessee so far this season. Now a favorite laying 2.5 on the road in Indy. The Titans as a dog since the start of 2022, 8-4-1 against the spread, 4-3 ATS as a favorite. Mike Blewett, we appreciate the time as always. My friend, we will see you on In Game Live Sunday afternoon starting at 4 p.m. Eastern to sweat it out on that Sunday slate. We give you our pick 6 for week 5 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Sunday Pick 6 for the National Football League in week number 5, live right here on this Football Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. A reminder, as always, before we dive in, the Pick 6 incorporates these 6 categories. Our favorite TD score for that Sunday slate, a moneyline underdog that pulls off the upset outright. Our favorite under, a team total, a game total. It does not matter. An alternate line could be for the props, could be on a game spread, a yards prop that we like, and of course we combine forces for a 6-point teaser. All right, DRS, your favorite touchdown score for week number 5.
Let's keep it simple here. Let's keep printing the money, and it makes sense here. Look, a minus 175 for a touchdown score prop. You'd say, what, Donnie? Are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. It's crazy not to bet Run CMC each and every week to score a touchdown. Look, there's the greater good of football here, and sometimes things are out of the norm. And what I mean by that is when you're scoring touchdowns at this level, it's up to the team to lift you higher, knowing you're trying to break a record, and it's good for everybody. Offensive linemen alike, we talk about it so many times. Hey, look at that. The guy went for 55 touchdown passes or broke the record there. Yes, the offensive line takes credit. The same thing with touchdowns. As much as Christian McCaffrey wants to score, the offensive line wants him to score those touchdowns because they feel like they're along for the ride. If we're getting inside the 5-yard line, it's going to be Christian McCaffrey getting first cracks at touchdowns here. It's an expensive price, but what's the point of not paying it? What are you paying juice for when it wins every single week and it will do that again? Run CMC in the end zone against the Dallas Cowboys, minus 175. Don't worry about the price. There's value on that price, Ben.
And DRS, value is only if it cashes. It doesn't matter if you had value at a plus 250 number, 25-1. If it doesn't hit, it makes no difference. If it doesn't make you money, it makes no sense. And DRS, the great thing about the FanDuel Sportsbook, we love our wonderful sponsor, the FanDuel Sportsbook, here on TEL. It seems like each and every night there is football. Certainly each and every Sunday, there's a profit boost out there, 50%, 30%. So you can take that minus 175 price and make it a little bit more palatable if you want that. Of course, Run CMC has scored in 13 consecutive games for San Francisco. 17 total touchdowns in that 13-game span as well. So not only can he score on the ground, he can also score through the air. I'm looking at Lamar Jackson, DRS, in that AFC North rivalry between the Steelers and the Ravens. Lamar to score, plus 115. Lamar Jackson has scored 4 rushing touchdowns in the last 2 games, 2 touchdowns in each of the past 2 for the Ravens. And Donnie, Pittsburgh is not only struggling offensively, they're struggling to stop the run because teams are trying to ice out football games knowing the Steelers can't come from behind. The 4th worst rushing defense in the National Football League, giving up a buck 40. Lamar Jackson has led the Ravens in rushing twice this year. I think he'll use his legs to find the end zone at least one time in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Moneyline underdog time, DRS. Who's winning outright as the dog this Sunday?
Nobody likes to take moneyline underdogs. Why? Because you feel like you want to take a favorite in the easiest pathway to victory. I'm going to go ahead with the Jets this weekend at a plus 112 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Do I love what the Jets are doing on offense? No, but you have to line some things up. I started talking about this last week saying the Jets had some pretty formidable opponents, particularly on defense, to start the year. And you're saying to yourself, well, boy, rainy conditions, good defenses, eventually the offense should be able to break out. I'm not saying that an unbelievable showing against Kansas City, but they showed signs of life and signs of being competent. Fast forward to this week. You have Zach Wilson coming into this game with a little bit of momentum, similar to what we saw to Justin Fields. Had a great game the week before, carried that over to Thursday night. Also going against a defense that can be had on the ground and in the air. This is the perfect scenario for the Jets to rescue their season. I think Zach Wilson have a decent performance. Breece Hall also unrestricted in the backfield, which is going to be so key. And I look for the defense in this game to be better on the Jets side than actually the Broncos side. I think they pull off the slight upset victory. I'll take that price point for the J-E-T-S, Jets at plus 112.
And we'll talk about that game a little bit later on, focusing on the quarterback four game, bringing Zach Wilson. But first, DRS, a quick aside from the pick six. Breaking news to bring you. We led off the show with it. GM Ryan Poles in Chicago saying he wishes Chase Claypool all the best, who was kept away from the Bears facility and the team as a whole the last 2 weeks. Well, a trade after Chicago wins its first game of the year. The Bears keep winning. Chase Claypool being sent to Miami in exchange for a 2025 sixth round pick back from the Dolphins. Claypool and a seventh rounder go from Chicago to Miami. So the Dolphins adding on to their offense if they even needed any more pieces. Hopefully Chase Claypool is that. That breaking news brought to you by the Athletics and only at the Athletics, Diana Russini. As I look at the moneyline underdog DRS, I go to the Houston Texans, plus 108 for the Texans in Atlanta on Sunday. C.J. Stroud has been sensational to start off his rookie season. More than 1,200 passing yards, the second most ever by a quarterback in their first four games of an NFL career. He has thrown zero interceptions so far this season. He is one of three quarterbacks to start all four games for his team this year and not throw a single pick. That's 151 pass attempts. C.J. Stroud has not thrown an interception. And outside of that, Donnie, the Houston Texans have been pretty good everywhere else. They've won two straight games by an average victory margin of 22 points. The defense looks better under D'Amico Ryans, the rookie head coach, a defensive-minded guy who is the orchestrator of the San Francisco defense the past few years, one of the best in the league. And Donnie, I never believed in the Atlanta Falcons. I thought the preseason optimism was a little bit too high because Desmond Ridder was going to be the quarterback delivering all those offensive pieces, the football. Go look at the Desmond Ridder box score. He has thrown for over 200 yards just twice so far this year. Give me the Texans in the mile upset. They're a point and a half underdog on the road in Atlanta, plus 108 on that money line.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense there, too. And you'd be a game manager. Well, he's managing to lose games at this point for Desmond Ridder. There's a lot of high-octane players on that offense, but the quarterback certainly not hitting the gas pedal for them. That's for sure. I like where you're going with that one.
DRS, total perspective. Give me the under that calls out to you for the Sunday slate.
We'll keep it quick. Let's go to the black and blue division. That's the AFC North here on the road in Pittsburgh in a must-win situation. That defense needs to rebound here. And the one thing I liked out of Mike Tomlin during the week, you know what he said? Us being out-physicaled by another team is unacceptable, and that's not the Steelers' way. They're supposed to be the team that sets the tone on both lines of scrimmage. So added intrigue in this one we've seen over the years, the Troy Polamalu, Ray Lewis. I mean, a bone-crushing game, no doubt about it, is what I anticipate. And also, limited weapons, it feels like. You're still banged up on offense for the Baltimore Ravens where you're leaning on Lamar Jackson running more than passing, and he can certainly do that. But from a Pittsburgh perspective right now, are we really jumping into the ring saying, hey, you know what, we probably fixed it with a quarterback on one leg and Matt Canada under siege from both the fans and also probably his players on his team, figuring like, man, we got to somehow get this thing cooking. I don't think it's going to get cooking this weekend. So my under in this football game, under 38 between the Ravens and the Steelers. I just look for this a hard hitting, low scoring game. And that's where I'm rolling here.
That's some stones, DRS, to go under 38. We talked about how competitive this rivalry is in the AFC North. All four of the last matchups in the two previous regular seasons decided by 3 points or less. Three of the four under. The last six meetings between these two teams since the start of 2020 decided by 5 points or less. Four of the six under. I'm going under 39.5 between the Saints and the Patriots in Foxborough on Sunday. New Orleans, a slight 1-point road favorite. New Orleans has played 13 of their previous 14 games dating back to last year to the under. New Orleans is the only team so far this year in the NFL, DRS, in the opening month to play all four games to an under. And the Patriots have the third worst scoring offense in the league, averaging less than two touchdowns on average per game. They've scored 16 total offensive points each of the past 2 weeks, or in the last 2 weeks combined. Give me the under between New Orleans and New England on Sunday. Alternate line, DRS, where are we looking?
Yeah, alt line here. I'm going to keep it simple. We expect destruction, mayhem, and terror in South Beach this weekend. That means the offense for the Miami Dolphins going up against the lame duck defense of the New York Giants. So the only way I can look in here, Tua Tagovailoa, it doesn't even seem like an alt line. This is plus money, people. Tua to get 300 passing yards at a plus 130 price. He might do it at the half, Ben. If we have anything to do with the last time they were at home, which was against the Denver Broncos, there was 70 on the board. Up and down the field they go, includes an angry Dolphins team trying to shake off the rust from a loss to Buffalo last week. They roll, and so does Tua.
309 passing yards, DRS, for Tua Tagovailoa that day against the Denver Broncos when they scored 70 points. So speaking of the Broncos and their bad defense, I'm also looking at an alternate line for Zach Wilson. His prop is out. It's 201.5. I'm going alternate line 225 plus. It will be plus money. If you wanted to make the argument for 240 or 250, I wouldn't fault you. Denver has the second worst passing defense in the league at the conclusion of 4 weeks, giving up more than 285 yards per game. Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 200 against this team. That was the only quarterback under 290. Week number two, Sam Howell, 290. We talked about Tua, 309 week number three. Justin Fields had the first 300 passing yard performance of his career last week against Denver, 335. Zach Wilson last week, 28 of 39, 245 yards, two touchdowns. It was a resurgence for Zach Wilson. Never more than 170 in the previous three games for gangrene this year, but I think that offense continues to groove. Nathaniel Hackett, a little additional motivation to call a great offensive game. Zach Wilson, 225 plus DRS, that alternate line from the props perspective. So that leads me in, backing up what you're saying for a big offensive day for Miami to my yards prop. Devon Achane, the rookie running back out of Texas A&M for Miami. Last week against Buffalo, only 8 carries, DRS, and still broke the century mark, 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. Against Denver, 18 carries, 203 yards and 2 touchdowns as well. When I checked last night, the rushing yards prop was not available just yet. I'm going to take a quick look here, DRS, for Miami against New York on Sunday. Is the number out? It is. And it is not out for Devon Achane. Anyway, give me the over on his rushing yards prop. They had a rushing yards category, but only for Daniel Jones. The Giants have allowed all of the team's leading rusher they have faced so far this year, all four of them, to have at least 70 yards. If the numbers around that, go over for Achane, DRS.
Yeah, my running back, let's play some big boy football. Last week, it was Derrick Henry playing big boy football against the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. You know what? Another big boy is going to be on the backfield going up against them. That's James Conner. How about this? 61.5 yards. The pathway to victory for Arizona this weekend is on the ground, and let's hand it off to a big boy running back to get at least 62 yards in this game. Conner gets it done.
DRS, he went over that number in weeks two and weeks three, and Cincy right now is the second worst rushing defense in the NFL. Our teasers here, Donnie, we talked about how competitive the AFC North rivalry is between the Steelers and the Ravens a few times. I'll tease Pittsburgh up to a 10.5 point underdog. All of the games in the last six meetings between these two decided by 5 points or less. What's your teaser leg, DRS?
Keep it quick. It's the Miami Dolphins. I don't see the Giants hanging within a touchdown here. Typically, like to tease it up above 10 like you're doing, or somewhere below a field goal. I don't think it matters here. If the Dolphins struggle in this game, there's bigger issues for the Miami Dolphins. I don't think they will. The Giants are ripe to get beat down this week.
And the Dolphins got beat down last week by 4 touchdowns in Western New York. They want to return back to the idea they're one of the dominant sides in the AFC. I just have no idea how the Giants keep that game close, DRS, whatsoever. We'll give you our best bet for the NFL Sunday slate up next as we round out a Football Friday on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right back here to finish out this Football Friday and the week on the Early Line here on Sports Grid. This is the new Sports Grid app as well, where the fun never stops over the weekend. You scan the QR code on your screen. The app is available for download in both the Apple and the Play Store. 5-star plays. You can sync your bets with your favorite sports book. Ours, of course, is the FanDuel Sportsbook. You are ready for a new NFL weekend with college football tomorrow and some games tonight, the WNBA Finals, and of course, October baseball, all 4 division series, starting with a quadruple header of action, Donnie, on a Saturday. So much to get to here before we say farewell and goodbye. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. DRS, what's the favorite play for the weekend?
Favorite play for me for this weekend, finally, if you take a look from a Philadelphia Eagles perspective, the offense is getting untracked a bit here, and the reason being is Jalen Hurts starting to throw footballs and throwing them to superstar wideouts like A.J. Brown. Last week, you saw him go over 300 yards and throw for 2 touchdown passes. Finally, I think that continues this week. They're going to need to put up points here against the Los Angeles Rams, and you're still getting value now. Look at Jalen Hurts, over 1.5 touchdown passes this week, a plus 106 price here. If we think that game is going to approach 50 points here in a dome, perfect conditions, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert are going to be a big deal there. We're going to get 2 touchdown passes. I'm going with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, 5 TDs, only 4 Hurts in 4 games. Love the look, DRS. I'll give you one for this Friday night slate in college football. Champaign, Illinois, the place is on fire. Boy. Nebraska and Illinois, let's stay under that total of 43.5. And last but certainly not least, the producer plays to set up the weekend. John Shames, the man with football on the docket, still looking at NBA preseason action over in Abu Dhabi. The Timberwolves, a 1.5-point favorite. Joe Friesa, who says we can't talk hockey? Connor Bedard, the sensation to win the Rookie of the Year, the Calder Trophy. Jesse Metzger, Evan Engram, over 48.5. Steve Sadovoy, Jets money line, and a Breece Hall anytime touchdown. Ooh. And our director, Metal Matt, Phillies money line in the opener. Yeah. He's on your side, Donnie. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.